073022, Randy George v. Roger Walker. We'll wait till everyone leaves.
You've lost your audience, Mr. Baker. And you haven't even said a word yet. Must be us. Okay, come on up. Good morning.
Good morning. May it please the court and counsel, my name is John Baker and I represent the plaintiff, Randy George. We are before the court this morning seeking reversal of a grant of summary judgment in favor of the defendants in this case. The facts of this case are not terribly complex, but I think that the timing involved is quite important, so I just want to detail it very quickly. Randy George had been employed by the Illinois Department of Corrections.
You know, you only have the 10 minutes, and the one thing I can assure you of is that we have really read your briefs carefully.
Okay. Well,
so
then
why don't we ask you some questions?
That would be great, Judge Rovner. I would appreciate that.
Does the record reflect the political affiliation of the veteran who filled the position?
No.
No.
No, it does not.
And what evidence is there that the defendants retaliated against George for political reasons? You know, what you've got in the record is that he served in this position in Pulaski County. It was a prominent position. Now, what evidence do you have that, you know, they retaliated against him for political reasons or that they even knew he was a Republican?
Well, certainly Mr. Bard knew he was Republican. That's undisputed.
You mean the one that himself was a Republican?
I'm sorry. I said Mr. Bard, but I was incorrect. Yes, the one himself who was a Republican,
right.
The warden. Other than that, we don't have.
Yeah, we don't, to show retaliation, because that's really what you.
But I think that this court has made it fairly clear in previous decisions that inferences can be drawn when an individual has held a fairly high-ranking political position, and there can be no question about Mr. George's political activities. He served as a statewide elected official, as a countywide elected official. He served as chairman of the Republican Party. He is not someone who was just tangentially involved. He was significantly involved in politics. It's not someone who just pulled a Republican ballot. This is someone who was very, very active in politics. And we are talking about two very small counties, Alexander and Pulaski. I think collectively they have maybe 25,000 people in them. These are small areas in southern Illinois. Mr. George held a very prominent position in the Republican Party. Given the geographical location of Tams, which is essentially right on the border of those two counties, I think certainly that the court can draw inferences. And again, this is a summary judgment ruling, and you know, a jury might not agree with that. A jury might disagree. They might say, well, there's no evidence of that. But I do believe that it's an appropriate inference that can be drawn at this stage of the litigation.
So, and there's no evidence in the record, I guess, that they had any other reason to be biased against him.
There's no evidence to indicate any reason whatsoever. I did pose an interrogatory asking the question of why he wasn't ever given that position, and the answer was it was given to a veteran. But the problem with that is that ignores the importance of the timing. You had this position that had been vacant for such a long period of time. Mr. George had previously been given the position. He had been awarded the position. The institution goes to the state, to the governor's office, and requests that the position be filled. And in my brief, I outlined the explanation of how important it was. They detailed how important the position was to the functioning of the institution.
Were the defendants ever asked to explain the long delay, despite the authorization to fill the position?
I don't know that they were directly asked that question. I think certainly indirectly they were asked that question. I mean, the question was posed to him, why didn't he get the job? But no, there's no explanation as to why.
Well, that's a different question for why there was a long delay.
That is a different question. But by the same token, this again is summary judgment. And they have not come forward and said why they waited such a long time.
Well, they don't have to.
I disagree with that. I think that they do. I think that, you know, when they fail to explain, and they certainly could have explained in their affidavits that they filed as to why they waited so long, the failure for them to explain certainly allows us to draw some inferences there. They have come back with nothing. They didn't file and say, we waited this long because of X, Y, Z. That's nowhere in the record. And so it becomes impossible for us to rebut it.
But then you had the opportunity to try to rebut it if you had asked the direct question in the deposition, right?
I suppose that would be correct. But I also don't believe that it was necessarily incumbent upon us to establish their defense for them.
See, what we're all trying to figure out is how can Mr. George show that the reason he wasn't hired was political affiliation as opposed to his gender or his race or some other protected category. And, it kind of looks like someone didn't like him and didn't want him to get the job. And what we need to know is what evidence is there that the reason that they didn't like him was his political affiliation. Or is it just something that you believe is just there? It's just sort of an undercurrent.
I don't think there's any evidence of any other reason, number one. Number two, I don't believe that there's any evidence that someone just didn't like Mr. George. In fact, the person who was prominent in making the decision was a friend of Mr. George's. Mm-hmm. He wanted him to have that position. There was no personal animosity there. The problem, Judge Rovner, is this court is very familiar with what happened in the Department of Corrections during the first several years of the Blagojevich administration. Wardens and assistant wardens were being fired and replaced. This was a new warden who was asked to come forward, and he had to fill this position. And he had a friend who undoubtedly was qualified for this position, and he passed him over. And do we have direct evidence where we can say someone said to him, you're a Republican, therefore we're not giving you the job? No, we don't have that. What we have is a bunch of little pieces of evidence that tend to suggest that there was something wrong here, that everything doesn't add up. And when you take that in combination with the fact of Mr. George's heavy political activity, I think that these are appropriate inferences that can be drawn, and I think that there is sufficient evidence that we have presented to at least present the question to a jury. I see that I am to my rebuttal. I'm more than happy to answer any additional questions.
We'll get Mr. Ellitz up here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Ellitz.
Good morning, Your Honors. Mr. Baker, may it please the Court. Illinois Assistant Attorney General Carl Ellitz appearing for the defendants, who are all state administrators, Your Honors, as you know, who were accused of violating Mr. George's First Amendment rights to free association when they didn't give him the job of business administrator at the TAMS correctional facility in southern Illinois. District Court granted summary judgment because Mr. George failed to show he had any evidence that might reasonably convince a jury that his failure to get the job was because the defendants knew he was a Republican. and had been, as Mr. Baker explained, an active Republican from the 1960s through the year 2000. And apparently he argues that they didn't want a Republican to hold the spot. As the court pointed out, however, although he alleged in his complaint that the person who got the spot was a Democrat, in fact, the record doesn't even show that much. But before I turn my explanation as to why the district court's decision to grant summary judgment was correct, I'd like to explain something that, or clarify something that I think may be important for the court to fully understand the record. When this case was filed in the fall of 2005, Mr. George's theory was that the defendants had unlawfully failed to rehire him from a layoff. After summary judgment had been filed, after discovery was closed, they sort of changed their position and argued instead that the theory of the case was that he had not been given the position that had been left open in the winter of 2003 in December. Whether this is a case about failure to rehire from a layoff, or whether it's a case about failure to promote him in the winter of 2003, the fact remains that there's no evidence here at all that the defendants retaliated against Mr. George because he was a Republican.
Well, why did Tams wait so long to fill the position after this, you know, very pointed memo talking about the need to fill it and to fill it immediately?
Your Honor, my understanding, as I recall the evidence, is that Tams didn't ask for that position to be filled, but that the Department of Corrections asked for that position to be filled in all the different facilities that had that spot open. I may be wrong about that, but it's in Mr. Baker's appendix. The record simply doesn't tell us why it was that Tams waited. I should point out, though, that Tams didn't just wait at the time that Mr. Baker was employed and working there. It waited after he had left as well. He left in the end of June of 2004. The position remained completely open through June and July. They took applications at the end of August and I suppose the beginning of September, and they didn't really fill it until October. So one of the things that the plaintiffs could rely on here is what the cases call suspicious timing that comes on the heels of protected activity. One of the points I want to make is that his protected activity occurred in 2000. That was 2 or 3 years before this case. But also there was this period of time after Mr. Baker had left when the position was, I'm sorry, Mr. George had left, when the position remained empty. And so that too tends to undermine this argument that the plaintiffs suggest about suspicious timing here. As the court noted, Ms. Shoup, who got the job, was not shown to be a Democrat, so that undercuts the plaintiff's theory as well. The plaintiff claims that we didn't explain why it was that he didn't get the job in December of 2003, but the answer is, as I tried to explain when I began, we really didn't understand his theory of the case until after he responded to the summary judgment motion. In the depositions and in the interrogatories and in the complaint itself, the discrimination was alleged to have occurred in the summer of 2004 when he wasn't hired back. So my clients answered those questions in all the same way. They explained that Ms. Shoup had a veteran's preference and she was given the job because of that preference. It's possible, I suppose, for Mr. George to argue that it was a small community politically there in southern Illinois and that the reason why he wasn't given the job was because of his politics, but we needed to see some evidence of this, and there just is none developed at all in this case. In fact, three of my clients, Walker, Baird, and Williams, all gave affidavits explaining that they had no knowledge of Mr. George's political affiliation, and that was never really rebutted. It's true that Mr. Fry, the warden at Tams, knew Mr. George was a Republican, but I'd like to point out to the court that Warden Fry was not the warden in December of 2003 when they claim this retaliation occurred. They were simply employees talking about the change in administration that was coming, and they were concerned about how Republicans were going to be treated. It's very different than suggesting that he had the ability to hire him and refused. In any case, it was a theory of recovery that simply was not developed. In this case, there was no showing of animus towards Republicans, and so the district court properly granted summary judgment. We'd ask that decision be affirmed.
Thank you, Mr. Ellis.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Baker, you have 2 minutes left.
Thank you, Judge Rodner. I just want to address a couple of the sequential points that Mr. Elitz made, because I do think that they are important. On January 10 of 2003, Mr. George was given the position. Governor Blagojevich was inaugurated. The position was taken away. In October of 2003, there was a request made by TAMS that the position be filled. That was granted on October 27, 2003. You can fill the position. At that point in time, the job was posted December 12 to December 18th. One person applied for that job. That was Randy George. For some reason, unbeknownst to anyone, that position was not filled at that time, despite the request that had been made. The only person who had applied was Randy George. The position then, despite that it had been given, granted authority to be filled, remained vacant through the layoff on June 30th of 2004. And I do want to address the timing issue, because the position was posted in August of 2004. So it wasn't a long period of time that elapsed after Mr. George had been laid off. We are not alleging that Mr. George's layoff was politically motivated. What we are alleging is that the failure to put him into the position when he was the only candidate who applied, when they had the authority to fill it, violated his rights under the First Amendment. I thank the court very much.
Thank you. Thanks to Mr. Baker and Mr. Elitz, and this case as well will be taken under advisement.